One-third of all murder cases in America remain open.
He had told me that if I opened my eyes, he would slit my throat.
Each one is called a cold case.
The DNA evidence taken from the victim was a match. The Linden rapist was at it again.
Based on the hit A&E television program.
A phone call is placed, one that changes a family's life forever.
Cold Case Files, the podcast.
If you could see the fire in his eyes, he screamed at me. You want it? Get your tape recorder out.
Get new episodes of Cold Case Files every Tuesday on Podcast One, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about masks and their efficacy. It's not 100% everybody, not even 70%. Afghanistan, of course, is on people's mind. But on my mind, I've got a little illness right now, but Adam doesn't care.
No, not sympathetic. No. First, let me tell you about LifeLock. A massive potential leak involving Microsoft Power Apps may have exposed 38 million records, including social security numbers, addresses, and even COVID-19 vaccination statuses. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cyber criminals could steal what's yours and harm your finances and your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they will send you an alert. So protect yourself with a LifeLock, right, Matt?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can help protect what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on, got to get enough chores, but giving them Dr. Drew's board physician person with that said sling and blade.
And what?
I'm
a sling blade?
With a professional medical digression
that's
of history.
Digression, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Professional digression, that's me.
What's going on?
We got a lot of love vote to talk about, my friend.
Ooh,
we are about six episodes behind on our little conversation.
True.
But I'm not sure if I'm ready for that yet. And just a warning, I have diverticulitis right now, which is something I get about twice a year, and it's fucked up.
What is it?
It's like having appendicitis on the left side instead of the right, and it tends to respond to antibiotics, and it's not something you want to get a surgery for if you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it every so often, and what's uncanny to me is I miss it every time. I mean, I was like, what's wrong with me? Something's not right. And then all of a sudden, bam, it hurts like an MFR.
Like a stitch in your side, or what's it feel like?
You've never had appendicitis. It's like a localized peritonitis is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it really hurts. I mean, it's like, it's not like a muscle spasm or something. It's like a deep, and what bothers me about it most is it makes me fatigued, which hasn't kicked in just yet, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah, but like a cricket farts in the middle of the night and you feel fatigued.
No, this is not like that. This is like when it really gets going, I can't – stop, Gary, don't.
Well, he's –
That's funny.
He's like a chick who's constantly on his period. Like, this makes me feel
this
way.
Here's the thing, Drew. I can believe that you are in pain and feel bad for you and still laugh.
All right.
That's
right.
Funny.
Fair enough.
Still laugh.
All right.
Yes.
It's uncomfortable when I'm feeling like shit.
I feel for you.
And I look
I'm sorry,
over here and through the window and I see two guys just howl and laugh.
It's a professional comedian, man.
Dr. Drew's a sauce, right? Like I've told you guys, like, how many times have I come in here and went, here's how I'm feeling right now? Anything?
Well, I always try to start with where I am. You know
I like
mean?
It. So, yeah. You're just always somewhere.
Right. I'm always somewhere. So I just start with that. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of a weird experience this time because I was like depressed a couple of days ago. I'm like, what the fuck
you
is
know,
that?
I realize and I think I have to blame my mom on this because I'm not sensitive to other people's like I have a headache or I'm not – you know, I've heard in my life
– Did anybody else notice that? Gentlemen notice that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not sensitive to the – you know, I'm feeling something and
that is
just the way I feel.
Bullshit, yeah.
I'll even spread half that out to my back is hurting or my neck or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So there's always – there's people with something. And my mom did that for so long that at a certain part, I started just going like, yeah, yeah, all right, yeah, all right. Yeah, you know, all right, I'm not listening. All
you
right,
you lose your capacity for empathy.
Here's the reason why you can't do X, Y, or Z, because you're feeling whatever. And unfortunately, that is carried into my adult life.
Yeah.
So when I hear about someone going, I'm not feeling, I am always like, hey, all right, fine.
Yeah.
Suck it up.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
So I just had.
Well, it's actually everyone else's problem. I inflicted on them.
Yes,
but essentially,
of course.
It's not my problem.
You've been told many times you're mean. People are afraid of you.
And
you know.
Also, you know, you can only really, I mean, not only, but you kind of see things through your lens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's that feeling of like when someone goes, oh, I don't care for cheesecake. You go, you don't. You like cheesecake. Oh, no, I don't. I don't care for it. You go, what? What? Who doesn't? You know, you don't. It's not that you're not calling them a liar, but you don't. You almost don't believe them.
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And because I don't have any lactose intolerance, or I don't have any stuff, or I never get a headache or backaches or, you know, stomach, whatever. When someone says it to me, I kind of go, yeah, yeah, right. Sure. Right. Because I would be much more empathetic if I was like, oh, right, I ate pizza yesterday, I had horrible heartburn. You know, it's easier to identify.
So I was in New York since we last sat at these mics.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it's New York's kind of coming back. I mean, there are parts of it that are feel like, you know, the far west side feels just like itself again.
Right.
Which is nice to see. But speaking of, you know, sort of being where I'm at, and I know you – well, this is weird. So I was supposed to do a Gutfeld show, and I got – they got canceled and pushed because of Afghanistan. I'm certain you've talked ad infinitum about that. I was with a friend of mine who is a West Point graduate and an Army Ranger when all that went down. I was mm-hmm. with them the whole evening. And it was very hard to see that through his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He was extremely upset
mm-hmm.
and mostly upset with upper management in the military
mm-hmm.
and that he had seen this coming for a long time. Most sort of mid-level management had been complaining this is what's going to come
mm-hmm.
and being ignored and then sort of being minimized by the president and stuff. It just was extremely – I mean he was one of the people who was saying – you got to put assets in there into Bagram or something, and maybe I'll be one. We'll get my peers together and we'll just go do it because mm-hmm. we know we can do it. I mean, that's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they're not deciding about that, he also pointed something out to me, which I would not know any of this, but he said that the fact that 12 of them got injured or killed by the bomb
mm-hmm.
was a sign to him that they'd not been properly prepared for their mission.
Well, 13, technically.
13, I beg your pardon.
I mean, it was like
at the time
12.
It was 12. It was 12 at the time.
No, what it
that
oh,
night,
sorry.
That
what
night.
It was, yeah. And here's the thing with the news and why they toggled between 12 and 13 a
yeah.
lot is
yeah.
I think it was like 12 Marines and then one Army corpsman or
right.
something. It's just 13 people dead. I don't yeah. know why. It's like 12 Marines.
Yeah.
Well, wait, 13. No, 12. No, this one person was an Army corpsman, I think.
And he said some interesting things I thought you'd be kind of interested in, which was that when he was there, and he was there running units, he's a Ranger, he's, you know, paratrooping in and stuff. He said, you know, we knew you'd never stay near each other. You don't want
right.
to be – so he said these are young guys that they're just throwing in to die. They are
right.
not. They are not people that are prepared for this. Not that they couldn't be. They could easily be if the
right.
upper management properly did their job. Number one, and then he said the fact that they were standing next to the Taliban. He goes, these people want to kill you. That's all they want to do. He said, we never saw the whites of their eyes, and if we did, we killed them.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. So he had extreme difficulty understanding how the upper management let them. First of all. Do things with the Taliban, which seemed extraordinary to him. And then secondly, that we were bunched together was just – and that the day before he pointed out to me – again, this is him to me. I don't know any of this stuff in reality – that they've done a strafing to sort of see where people ran and see what the choke points were, and that's where they put the bombs.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew it was coming the day before, and why didn't they know it and why didn't they prepare for it?
Well, they were too busy reading White Fragility. I mean, it's also comical that these generals and chiefs of staff were talking about wokeness essentially 10 minutes before this whole shit went down. And yeah. everyone kind of made the point, which is your generals and your chiefs of staff, we need you focusing on the nuts and the bolts. Leave the wokeness for the college campuses.
Well, he also then pointed out to me that these are appointed positions, right? Mm-hmm. And they're essentially political positions, mm-hmm. and they have to make the politicians happy, and that's why they were doing that.
Yeah.
So doing their political job. It's just – that's horrible for the military. Horrible.
Well, you know, what's so different about the teachers' unions and the governor of California? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he will do their bidding. There's evidence – that suggests overwhelmingly that schools staying open doesn't harm teachers or kids or anything.
Of course.
So then why is he – do you think he's making that decision in a vacuum?
No.
Do you think if he didn't get millions of dollars from the teachers' unions, he would be making that same – drawing those same conclusions? There is no – by the way, there's no expertise. I mean, there is no data that suggests opening schools is dangerous. So where's this coming from? Where is he getting this?
Well, from the teachers. Yeah, right. But I've had interactions with them when I was doing the Fox 11 that convinced me. But so we were talking last week about masks. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of weird pushback in Twitter, like, where's your data? Where's your data? How could you say 15 to 20%? There was a famous Danish study published in Annals of Internal Medicine. I've got it in front of me here. You can find it. Let me get the date of it. It is March 2021. It was a highly anticipated study because it's a randomized control study on masks.
Right.
Now, there are some criticisms of how this was done. But certainly, I remember when this was coming to publication, people like, ah, here it is. Here's how we're going to prove. We're going to prove mask. It came out 20% efficacy. Not
maybe
zero.
Less.
Not maybe less, but not zero, but 20% or so.
Well, I think cloth masks were at zero, and yes. maybe the paper masks were at 15 or 20.
This was a highly anticipated study, randomized control, you know, highest caliber. Again, you can always criticize the particulars of how they rolled it out, but it was highly anticipated. But when the results didn't come out the way people wanted it, it was completely dismissed. Then there was another one a couple days ago, 600,000 people, and it showed a 9% effect. Not yeah. zero. Not zero. It's not zero.
Well, let me ask you this, and I haven't read the report of the study.
I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second. What bothers me is people behave as though they're 100% effective,
right.
or 70% effective. No, they are not. They're on the margins. We're trying to mitigate on the margins. Don't behave like that's 100% efficacious. It isn't. Here's what 100% efficacious. Take subcutaneous Regeneron, subcutaneous monoclonal antibody after exposure, zero risk of developing COVID.
Well,
that's real.
We got to pull you off of Twitter for that kind of talk. Hey, here's the other thing too. The 9% and the study. Mm. Okay. So masks are effective to a small degree. Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
Yeah, it's not zero, and we want to do our best, and okay, all right. But don't pretend, don't signal
right.
that it's
but
somehow 100% efficacious.
But here's the real question to me. How are they conducting those studies? In that, yes, if you are wearing a mask, surgical style, you know, paper mask, and you have it properly on your face and somebody coughs 5 feet away, you know, you get 9%, whatever. But then how does it go if a stewardess hands you a pack of Fiesta Mix and the mask comes off?
Right.
And then you, for 15 minutes, you eat the pack of Fiesta Mix and then you put the mask back on.
Right.
Or you are walking through the airport with your mask on, but then you get to the TSA and she's looking at your ID and she tells you to pull the mask down. So now everyone who goes through the TSA momentarily, at least, pulls their mask down so yep. the person can look at them. Well, then how effective is it?
Listen,
less than 9%?
And there are other things to be done. You can do nasal lavages. Listerine in the mouth has now been shown to disrupt the virus. I mean, this
really?
Thing's, yes. And there was a thing called Halidine that went out of business. It was a betadine thing you squirted. I was using that pretty regularly, and I was like, this can reduce – this is another way to – where is everybody? Why aren't they talking about all the things we can do?
Listerine.
Yeah, Listerine was shown to
disrupt. When did that come out?
I heard that this morning.
Masks do virtually nothing.
9%. Not nothing, but 9%.
Well, I'm saying virtual. Yeah. I said the word virtually. Yeah. And by the way, 9% when properly wore continuously, I'm guessing. I'm guessing they didn't do tests, which is what you see in the real world, which is anyone's taking a commercial flight. That mask comes off 14 times a flight for the snacks and the food, and it takes the sips of the drink. Again, had people eating under their mask, but it slides down. You take a spoonful of yogurt, and then it slides. Did these mask studies have people pulling it down and up constantly? Did they have it sliding under their nose? Did they have that breathe right metal strip not properly clamped down over the bridge of their nose? No, because this is essentially 9% when worn, you know, with the protocol, you know, basically according to instructions. How is it
in the wild?
In the wild,
yeah, we don't know.
Although the Danish study
was sort of in the wild. That was actually what was criticized for. That it was.
Oh, if it was in the wild, then it was in the wild.
It was kind of in the wild, and it was criticized because here's one of the criticisms: mask wearing wasn't that widespread at the time. Therefore, people didn't. We were surmising they didn't wear their mask properly. That was the criticism. In spite of it being an excellent done randomized controlled trial, I don't know. Where'd you come up with that?
Yeah, they love the mask. I'll tell you this. So this will bring us to this piece of information. Or a thought experiment, which is this. I was listening to Dr. Scott Atlas, I think, on the way in on Dennis Prager. And he was essentially saying, you know, masks, essentially useless, at least the ones we do, or the ones we wear, cloth and paper, them. And also, let's not – I've seen many people with the mask on and the elastic strip that goes behind the ear is twisted 180, makes a figure eight shape, and then creates a huge bulge, an opening on each side.
Oh,
I took note of that because while the stewardess from Delta was yelling at me constantly to pull the mask back on, at some point she had a nice conversation in the galley with a young gal who was masked up, but it was twisted. And when it was twisted, one side pulled down, the other pulled up, and it created a big crease, a big gap in the side of it. She had no instructions for that person.
That hasn't come under their scrutiny yet. They haven't been schooled on that.
No, that's the science. But I'll tease it, which is Prager said to Scott Atlas, he said, then what's with the fetishizing of the mask? Like, why so into it? You know, I mean, it's marginally effective, not that effective. No use to wear one outside, so on and so forth. What are we so nuts about? I'll tease that.
Ooh.
I'll tell you what the answer was, but I think there's something here. Tommy John. Well, there you go. Underwear. You got big Labor Day coming up. Is that true?
Yeah.
Labor Day's coming up. You got to wear Tommy John Apollos. It's the best. It's the newest and most advanced men's underwear. Made with exclusive performance-grade dry-release fabric blend. Keeps you drier, up to 7 degrees cooler than regular cotton. Soft, supportive. Yeah, today's Labor Day. That's what I wanted to say. So put on your Tommy John, man. Stretches for the perfect fit. It's available 4XL. Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics, and they've been doing it for so many years. Over 15 million pairs sold. I'll never go back to my old underwear now that I got Tommy John. It's the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free, guarantee, right, Matt?
For a limited time, get $25 off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/ADS during their Labor Day sale. That's TommyJohn.com/ADS for $25 off site-wide. TommyJohn.com/ADS. See site for details.
All right, so here it is, Drew.
I'm ready.
So he basically said, people wear it because it makes them feel like they have some control.
That they're doing something, yeah.
They're doing something. Yeah. They have some dominion over their life because they don't like
That's why they feel like it's 100% effective, because that's how, in their brain, that's what they want it to be. That's why they wear it.
Well, hence the death of math. But the point is people do it because they feel like they're able to control something that they can't control.
Right.
That's okay.
Right.
That's absolutely right. It's kind of the way religion works.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's not zero. The question that nobody asks, though, is it worth it? That's the question. Well, is it worth it for a 9% reduction?
If one person is saved.
So, yes, there we go. So it's worth it. But by the way, there are going to be antivirals soon that are going to be extremely useful. And once we get good therapeutics going, all this nonsense is going to kind of go away. It's inevitable. And
maybe all this nonsense is going to go away, but if the people who are enjoying the nonsense want to keep spinning those plates, then what?
It'll look very bizarre when that happens. It'll look really a mess.
To a lot of us, it looks pretty bizarre now.
It does, but it will really look bizarre when it's like, why aren't you taking treatment?
Sonny got sent home from school because somebody in the class was infected. He's now quarantining. Yeah. Kids 0 to 19, 99.997 death rate with COVID. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're at zero with kids, and we're going nuts on kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kids keeps moms scared.
There are going to be –
so here's the equation, by the way.
Yeah.
Grandpa doesn't scare mom. Kids scare mom. Mm. Moms control the narrative.
There will be more child deaths from influenza in the upcoming flu season than COVID.
Yes.
Substantially.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. So you and I are normal. But here's my point. My point is control. What's everyone with control? Why is everyone dealing with control? Now, this is an issue. Masks don't really do anything, but they give you a sense of control.
Right.
Okay.
That's a normal human thing.
I get it.
Yeah.
Well, why am I not interested in it? Because I'm not interested in controlling things I can't control. That's a waste of my time.
That's the serenity prayer.
Ask me how often I think about meteors hitting the planet.
Right.
I don't.
Yeah.
It's out of my control. COVID, from the people I know who have gotten it, as we talked about, Bean, he played by all the rules, and Mike August didn't, and Bean got it, Mike August didn't, and then Mike August got vaccinated, and then he got it. So you tell me how this works. Now, I figured out early and often, eating outdoors, walking on the beach, lockdowns, paper masks, not going to do it. You're getting it or you're not getting it. Now, you can control your weight,
yep.
Can control your health and your cardiovascular health and things like that.
And you can mitigate your risk. You can eat outdoors. You can, you can not go to big events. You can,
there are things, but I did all of that and never got it.
Yeah.
So my point, so did Mike. And then Mike got it after being vaccinated. But the point is this. Am I interested in control? Yes, very much so. When I'm dealing with a project or a book, or a documentary, I'm sitting in the edit bay micromanaging everything. Mm-hmm. So it's not that I'm not into control. It's just I'm not into controlling things I can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's a lot of people that are trying to control things they can't control and a little bit out to lunch on the shit they can control.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, how much control... Yeah. Bandwidth do you have?
Well, it's when people feel helpless that they strive for control, right?
Right.
So that's sort of the equation that sets us up like this. But what's fascinating, as you point out, is that there is stuff they could control. They're not so interested. They're not.
Well,
because it doesn't have the valence. Doesn't have the emotional connection to it.
It's been a year and a half. Everyone who was 30 pounds overweight could have dropped it by now. That would make a big difference, a lot bigger than a mask in terms of the morbidity and outcome. Did you control that? So here you are controlling something you can't control, essentially with the mask, and not controlling something you can control, which is your weight. Mm. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back with your questions right after this. All right, we got some questions up there, Drew.
We do. Let's just knock them off from the top.
Start at the top.
Yep.
Hey, Mike, 50, San Diego.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, guy. Meho.
Hey, you know, as we obviously on a serious topic, which I think Drew started to touch on earlier, we're approaching the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. And, of course, with Afghanistan, the pullout, I'm just curious what your guys' thought is as a nation, where we're headed with the fact that it seems to me like we're kind of back to square one.
With which issues? I think we're gone, you know, backwards in a lot of ways, not just square one, right?
Yeah, I mean,
okay,
I mean, first things first. I mean, in terms of terrorist attack,
right?
The southern border is pretty much wide open. Mm-hmm. So if you can't vet who's coming into the country, you are definitely opening yourself up to a possible attack. And you know, if you take kind of the distinctive features, I would. I'll put Mike on.
Taking
hold.
A bath or doing dishes?
I don't know.
One or the other.
Take the features of Al Qaeda and your average 26-year-old male Hispanic immigrant coming over the border. There's garb and ceremonial headdresses, headgear and beards and stuff like that. But if you wanted to lose that stuff and don yourself a L.A. Dodgers jersey and shave the beard and put on a ball cap, I think you'd pretty much look like your basic Guatemalan, who made his way across mm-hmm. the whatever. Mm-hmm. So we could possibly, you know, I don't think the open southern border or the almost open southern border is a good start to homeland security. How right. say you, Drew?
I think that seems like I find it bizarre that to look at that and go, I don't think that's a good thing, is somehow outrageous. You know what I mean? That you're a racist for thinking it. I don't get that. I don't get why you can't go, let's solve that problem. It looks like it's not a good thing for us. Why don't we do something about that? How dare you?
Well, look, if Canadians were flowing into the country, I think we'd have issues with that.
I kept saying back when I was on the radio, go across the border to Tijuana. This guy's with machine guns on the Mexican side for you there. They don't want Americans streaming over the border either.
Right.
You have to go. They have a wall at the border. When you drive down to Mexico, what do you encounter? Yeah. A wall with a bunch of Mexican military there to control you and to keep you from running amok.
Right.
And then a wall that extends eastward a certain distance. And why is that distance an issue? It was a mile, a half mile, 30 miles? One's good, one's bad. 100 yards? There's a wall there.
Yeah.
I don't get the pretending it's not there. And by the way, it's on the Mexican side. They don't want us streaming down there.
Yeah, well, a wall never kept anyone out, Drew. You got to know how walls work. Like it's the ones going around the Capitol.
Is that kind of weird?
We
don't have guys with machine gun on our side, do we?
Well, look, here's the whole point. It gets down to this feelings versus sort of mechanics, which is, can we agree that every sovereign nation should have control over its border? And if the answer is yes, then the next question is how do we gain control over the border? Now, you could say, well, we're going on the honor system of the people in the other country who would like to flow this direction. They must all be hardworking folks, or they're being political persecution. They must be fleeing or whatever. But I don't think that's a good answer. I think that can be exploited. I think everyone can agree on that. Okay. So now, then what else? Well, then people start talking about incentives. Well, here's where all the jobs are. They're struggling in their country. They don't have jobs. Here we have jobs. That's an incentive to come over here. Mm-hmm. And you go, that's true. But what is the fix to that? Stop creating jobs here in this country? No. How about creating jobs, you know, high-paying jobs in their country? Okay. I don't know any way to facilitate that. I mean, Kamala Harris went down there and spoke about the root causes or whatever. Is she going to open a coat hanger factory and employ half of El Salvador? Like, you know what I mean? Like, all right, can't do that. Can't do that. What's the third option? Well, put up a fence, put up a gate, put up some barbed wire, have men, armed men, every X amount of distance to patrol that, give some Jeeps and some dune buggies and some night vision goggles and some fixed wing aircraft and patrol that border. And then they go, okay, then what about people that are being criminally, being persecuted for their political beliefs? And I've got, okay, then we also need a system put into place so we can vet those people and bring them to safety. But if there's no fence, there's no wall, there's no security, then all the other options fall by the wayside.
They don't exist, exactly.
Yes.
You know, it reminds me when I was a resident, I was treating a lot of El Salvadorians running away from the El Salvador. People don't realize there was a civil war in El Salvador during the 80s, really. And I don't know if you've noticed lately that ivermectin is back in the news because Joe Rogan got COVID and said he took ivermectin.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, he got COVID. He took ivermectin. He took monoclonal antibodies. He took steroids, corticosteroids. He took NAD and vitamin infusions. But the NAD infusion is an interesting idea. I never would have thought of that. There's no studies on it, so I don't know. He claims it helped make him feel better. Monoclonal antibodies, of course, work, and that's why he got better. Steroids work. That's why he got better. Ivermectin, I don't think it does very much, but it made me think about the 80s when I was treating all these El Salvadorians, and there were others too from lower southern Mexico. We saw a shit ton of Ascaris lumbricoides. Can you guys put a picture up there for me of Ascaris lumbricoides? Do you know what that is?
No.
Well, it's treated with ivermectin or mebendazole, and I used to use both a lot, frequently, sometimes even if I had a hint that's what was going on.
Well,
with
you're rolling the dice,
right? Because it's harmless. But there it is. This is what is coming out of people.
Oh man, yeah. Giant parasite worms.
Yeah, they're very common coming up in those days. And I got used to using ivermectin all the time. It never didn't hurt anybody. It cured the worms. They also have ivermectin creams for lice. I mean, we use it a lot. Just because we don't have parasites in this country doesn't mean it's not used worldwide.
Hasn't been used for COVID.
Yeah, right.
So it could be dangerous.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like you could say, let's say, Drew, let me give you an example. Let's say you got a chapped elbow. So you put some Vaseline on that chapped elbow.
Right.
All right.
Got a chapped elbow.
That might fix it. That might be safe. But then let's just say you had a squeaky hinge, like your car door hinge. So you use some Vaseline on that.
Okay.
You have to lube up the car door. Then the car catches on fire.
Oh.
Because it's not approved for the car.
Right.
It's not safe.
Okay.
You understand?
I understand.
Okay. No, sorry. Bad example. It's approved to use on your right elbow.
Okay.
But then your left elbow starts
shaking. Right.
Well, now we could have an injury.
And let me state it again. The FDA, the CDC, the NIH does not determine physician prescribing practices. They actually have nothing to do with it. They give us recommendations and guidelines. The decision what to use and where in a given patient is strictly the responsibility of every individual practitioner, period. And so if they feel that they need to, the patient and the doctor together decide this is a good idea, that's what you do. So whether it's on label or off label, it doesn't mean shit in the practice of medicine. It doesn't mean literally
Joe
anything.
So Joe got it. Did it hit him hard?
He apparently was sick for a couple of days, pretty bad, but he got right over it. The monoclonal antibodies he got within 24 hours. That's how you get over this thing.
All right, do your spot.
Jordan Harbinger, everybody. Jordan Harbinger. We love his podcast. Interesting people. You should check it out. Episodes for everyone. Scott Adams, my buddy, goes in there to talk about persuasion. He sees everything through the prism of cognitive distortions and persuasion. It's interesting to really pay attention to that. That's an episode for everyone. Or go inside the dark world of wildlife tracking. Jordan's got an interesting life. He's been kidnapped. He speaks multiple languages. You'll always find something useful to apply to your own life. Routine changes to boost your productivity, slight mindset tweaks that change how you see the world. We enjoy this show. You will too. Search for the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. Jordan Harbinger Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Jordan Harbinger is a good guy. Check out his podcast. You'll like it.
All right. You can find me September 22nd. I'll be doing doing a live show out in Solana Beach, right? We're doing a live pod out there, Gary?
I believe we're doing both.
Oh, we're doing both. Sorry, yeah. Eh, you can just put them together. I don't need them broken up. Helium in St. Louis. Be doing stand-up there October 8th and 9th. And then stand-up dates this Friday, Royal Oak, Michigan. Royal Oak Music Center. It's a beautiful place, by the way. Detroit, little dicey. Go outside of Detroit 45, 50 minutes to get to Royal Oak. It's beautiful. September 10th, so that's this Friday. This Saturday, Kansas City, Arvest Bank Theater as well. Go to amcroll.com for all the live shows. Park West coming up in Chicago, September 24th. And you can check out all the Going Racing. We got eight new episodes up on our Pluto TV channel.
Nice.
687. What do you got, Drew?
Go to drdrew.com. Check out After Dark, Dr. Drew Podcast. Gary, do you know what's up this week at the Dr. Drew podcast? No, okay. But a lot of good stuff. Dr. Drew TV. I'm going to be in France this week, interestingly. I'll talk a little bit more about that. But go to drdrew.com.
So, until next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew. Say it. Mahalo.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
You're about to hear a preview of The Jordan Harbinger Show with Ray Dalio, who began investing at age 12 and now has over $160 billion under management.
Three big things that are happening now that haven't happened in our lifetimes before, but happened in the 1930 to 45 period. So when we look at the world, we have three big topics that we need to talk about, and they're very big and important to understand. The capacity of humans to adapt and change and do things is enormous, but the likelihood of being able to work in an intelligent, cooperative way to do the right things would have to be considered a long shot.
For more with Ray Dalio on how we should prepare ourselves for the economic downturn we're bound to experience in the future, check out episode 389 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.